I think my career has been a series of accidents. I certainly never planned to become a vice chancellor. In fact, I now spend much of my time wearing a suit and often a tie as well, not today. But in fact, I ended up taking an academic route in part for sartorial reasons. When I was an undergraduate in my final year of undergraduate work, I applied both for PhD studentships and for a number of jobs, and I had a great job offer with a very prominent management consultancy firm, and I had a graduate studentship available. And the management consultant said, you have to understand that if you work for us, every day you will wear a suit and tie, and we will tell you what color tie and what type of tie you wear, because there is a corporate image. This was long before dressing down days had become common in consultancy. And I thought, I hate wearing a suit, I hate wearing a tie, so I'll take the PhD studentship. So that was the sort of first accidental decision. Now, of course, management consultants never wear suits and ties, and university vice chancellors always do. So it was, you know, I've ended up doing something that I hadn't intended. My career then was a fairly, I think, sort of standard academic career. I had a postdoc fellowship, and then in Oxford, and then a lectureship at the London School of Economics, and I sort of worked my way up through the academic hierarchy, and as many academics do, I started to sit on committees, and you know, then became a head of department, and then eventually, by being a less inefficient administrator than many of my academic colleagues, I sort of went further in terms of academic management within the London School of Economics, and picking up some of those external things that you know tend to happen, so working on research council committees and other academic and professional society committees. So, as I say, it's been to some extent a series of accidents. I suppose, however, there was one decision that was a significant decision. I became deputy director of the London School of Economics. And I did that for almost 4 years before coming to La Trobe. And for me, it was a sort of experiment because it was clear if I was going to do that, I would really be giving up on academic life. And in particular, I would have to give up on research. I don't think you can really combine a full-time management job with research. And so I was trying things out, I suppose, over those 4 years at LSE. And in the end, I decided, since I'm an economist by training, I reckoned my comparative advantage was in academic management rather than research. I felt I was a reasonably proficient researcher, but I was probably, you know, in the end, I was better at the academic management job. And having made that decision, then a move on to a vice chancellor job was something that, you know, I thought would be the right move for me. And then I was approached over this job at La Trobe, and of course had quite a bit of experience of Australia. I'd worked for a year at the Australian National University in the early 1990s, and my wife and I had spent 3 months at the University of Melbourne in 1996 when I was a Downing Fellow in Social Economics down there. So we knew quite a bit about the Australian academic system. My wife has an aunt and three cousins who are all Australian. They live over in Perth. So we were very attracted to Australia. We had been for a number of years, and when the opportunity came, we thought, yes, let's take it. When we were living in London, we said, you know, we lived in London for many years, great international city. We thought, well, we'll never leave here. The cultural life is so rich, so dense, the theatre, the concerts, and so on. When our daughter, our first child, reached her third birthday, we looked back on the previous 3 years and realized that we'd not been to a concert or to a play in those 3 years. You know, having children changes your outlook. In fact, we've done more since we moved to Melbourne than we did for our last 3 years in London. That's partly because it's so much easier to go out in Melbourne. You don't have to struggle with the you know, congestion and the like in as you do in London. I don't feel that there is any sort of cultural deficit in Australia. There is clearly it's a news society with you know only a couple of centuries of white settlement, so you're not surrounded by ancient buildings and it's not a densely settled country as is the UK and as are the you know the Western Central European countries. So the physical aspect is different. I mean, we love the Australian countryside, and certainly don't particularly miss the English countryside. I suppose the thing that I would say that we do miss would be historic buildings, and there's a character of human settlement in Europe with a degree of density in small towns and villages, density of settlement, which has come about because of population pressure, which you don't get in Australia. So, Australian, you know, reasonably sized towns and cities, you could be on the edge of them, or you can be next to Main Street, and you can't tell from the physical buildings where you are, whereas in a European city or town, you know when you're in the centre because narrow streets, taller buildings, no gardens. So physically, the appearance of the country and of human settlement is different. But in terms of cultural deficit, no, I don't see that at all. I mean, I suppose I was going to. I could make a comment that, in terms of some of the public discourse, one of the things that strikes me is, for instance, the radio news in the morning. I turn on the radio news, and there may be one or two items that are national news stories or international news stories, but then most of the other items will be about what's happened to the local sports teams and whether someone was bashed at Footscray railway station the previous night. So there is a degree of parochialism in terms of public discourse and news, which is different from the UK, but very similar, for instance, to the US. And I think many people would say the US is a very culturally diverse and rich society. So I don't think one should make easy readings from, or simplistic readings from, what you hear on the morning news broadcasts to the cultural richness of society. One of the attractions for both Susanna and I of Australia is that it is not as tightly conditioned by a class structure as is the UK. Now, there is a class structure in all societies, and there is one in Australia, so I'm very well aware of that. But the class structure in the UK is ever present and I think quite oppressive and pernicious. And I say that having, in a sense, through higher education, risen up through that class structure and done very well out of it. But it still seems to me that in the UK, the privileges of the family into which you're born, which gives you access to a lot of educational opportunities and then a lot of employment opportunities, that those privileges are still pretty strong. And the social worlds are quite exclusionary. And I think the different social worlds in Australia are less exclusionary. I think it is a more open society. It has to be a more open society. It's a migrant society. And migrant societies are inherently more open, even though they are They are partitioned by a whole range of both socioeconomic and ethnic divisions as different waves of migrants come into those societies. But there is a sense of, well, what some people would say mateship in Australia that gives it just a different character, and I like that. And I have, that's why we have no desire to go back to the UK. We like Australia, we like the culture, the society, we like the climate as well. When we moved out to La Trobe 3.5 years ago, we had a very clear intention of emigrating permanently and becoming full citizens in Australia to have our new life here and for our kids who have now spent most of their lives in Australia, for them to be Australian citizens. That was partly because I just saw, and Susanna, my wife, saw Australia as really creating, providing great new opportunities. Australia, this was well before the global financial crisis, seemed to us to be a land that offered real opportunities, both for us as adults, but particularly for our children. The whole geopolitical sort of center of the globe is shifting to the Asia Pacific region. We wanted our children to be part of that, and Australia is clearly going to be a core part of that new Asia Pacific world centered on China and India as a major powers. I have to say now, with sort of a little bit of hindsight and the general sense of economic doom and gloom that is pervasive across Europe, it seems an even better move that we made, it seems so now, than was the case 3.5 years ago. So we're very pleased to have moved to Australia. It's a great country, it's a great environment. We love living here, and so do our children. So that's why we're becoming Australian citizens. Something that people wouldn't expect about me. Okay, well, one of my great enthusiasms is home improvement. So not that I've had much time to do any of that since we moved to Australia, but in the UK, we were serial renovators of houses. So I have installed several complete bathrooms and kitchens. I'm, quite handy with plumbing. Not too good on the electrics, because I never too sure about how the circuitry works. But that sort of aspect to my life would probably surprise people, because they don't normally think of academics as being at all practical. And one reason I've always liked doing practical things, so I've never had any proper training in it, is that you can see some immediate results. If you're working on an academic article, which I, of course, spent most of my career doing that academic research, you spend months and months and months apparently producing nothing because you're doing all the background work. And the results are very slow, and you write your article and then you send it off to a journal, and then several months later you get the referee comments back. It's such a slow process. The great thing about home improvement is you can say at the start of a weekend, right, I'm going to rip out this kitchen and start rebuilding it. And within 3 hours, you can see that you've achieved something. And so that sense of almost instant gratification is one reason why I like doing those practical things. As I say, I haven't had much time since I moved to La Trobe, but I'll have to try to carve out a bit of time to get back, to get the power tools out and get down to some practical work.